And we return. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper along with Bonnie Berman. Well, October is Hispanic Heritage Month. We don't know much about that in South Florida, do we? And we have chef, author, and syndicated columnist Linda Gastenheimer. She always celebrates Hispanic Heritage Month on the program. And this year, a special treat, a celebrity chef and author. Gosh, kind of a star with us here.
I thought you meant me.
Yes, well, besides you and Bonnie, I've got the three women here now.
Well, then behave yourself.
Okay.
All right. Well, as you said, Hispanic Heritage Month runs from September 15th to October 15th. And here to help us celebrate is television personality Ingrid Hoffman. Her very popular shows are Delicioso on Univision and Simple Delicioso on the Cooking Channel.
Univision.
Thank you. And her latest book is Latin Delight, Delicious Latin Recipes with a Healthy Twist. She's here to spice up our day. I think she's already done that. Welcome, Ingrid Hoffman.
You guys have me laughing. Hi. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Great to have you with us. And we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. Do you have any questions or comments for our guests? What's your favorite Latin recipe? Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN. Bonnie, do we have email today?
We do, radio@WLRN.org.
So give us an email if you'd like. We'd love to hear from you. Also with us, of course, our favorite wine guy, Fred Tasker. He's joining us by Skype, and you can read Fred's wine suggestions for my Dinner Minutes column that's in today's Miami Herald, and also he has a very big wine column in today's Herald. Fred, what are we drinking today?
Hey, guys, I thought I would talk about naturally Hispanic wines.
Oh, all right. Are there any?
Sure, depending on how you define it, sure.
Okay, well, Ingrid's giving me a look like, are you nuts?
Yeah. You're a mind reader now too, huh?
Yes. Ingrid Hoffman, Hispanic Heritage Month. Give us a quick idea. What is it and why do we have it?
It's basically an acknowledgement for the contribution of Hispanic Americans to the United States. And now it's celebrated, I guess, globally, but we really have the experience mostly here in the U.S. So it's kind of nice. It's generally, for me, a month that I'm very busy bringing all the Latin flavor everywhere, and here I am.
Well, we're delighted that you're here. And congratulations on your new book. It's Latin Delight, but its subtitle is what I thought was interesting, Delicious Latin Recipes with a Healthy Twist. Can we really have healthier recipes with these bold Latin flavors?
Of course we can. It's just like every recipe. You modernize it. You make it lighter. You exchange, ingredients for better for you ingredients. And that's really just, I don't believe in diets. It's not a diet book. It's a book that helps you shave calories in ways that you don't realize. So I play a lot with the portions. And that's really where all the changes are to these recipes, modernizing them, making them newer.
And if I'm correct, it's Delight, D-E-L-I-T-E, not L-I-G-H-T. Delight,
exactly.
As in light.
But it's also as in delight. It's a play
right,
of words.
Right.
And it
right.
is about lighter, yeah.
Okay, so I'm looking at this photograph, and it's called Turkey Nachos. Now, it has tortilla chips. Smothered in cheese, black beans, turkey, avocado, sour cream, and olives. Now you're telling me this is healthier, so tell me about it.
Absolutely. They're whole wheat tortillas. They're baked, so you're not using your store-bought fried ones. You're not using refried black beans. You're using black beans that have no extra fat added. So instead of beef, we're using turkey. And the quantity of cheese ratio to comes out proportion is minimal, so you're still enjoying and feeling that you're having nachos, but it's probably about 700 calories less proportion than what a regular nachos would be. So
but am I still getting that flavor that we expect when we are,
of course, nachos? I mean, one of the things that for me is the challenge is how do I make these recipes work and yet have them be as delicious and fulfilling that I actually say I killed my you know, my yearning or my desire of having nachos, as opposed to when you have the very light version that sometimes like, ah, okay, but I'm still craving
right,
the real
thing. Have a flavor memory. You remember what it's really, you know, I want to have nachos. I really want to enjoy
exactly.
them. So what kind of spices do you put in there to make it?
Well, I'm always very herb and spice centric mm-hmm. for this. So for instance, you know, I make my own adobo, which is a blend of cumin, achote, which comes from the annatto seed. It has lemon zest. It's got parsley. It's got oregano. So I'm really giving flavor, mostly creating that flavor base from natural spices and herbs as opposed to coming from fat. So I would have the loaded cheese, I would have the refried beans, I would have the fried tortillas, and all of that I've eliminated. So it's about really creating a balance in which the recipe still works. And, you know, when I start in my test kitchen, generally I will, you know, work on a recipe, and if it's not working, I'll try it with different until I finally reach, okay, it's a winner. It's going in the book or it's going on a TV show. And is it something that I want to make again? And okay. There's recipes that sometimes just don't work.
Would these nachos make it at the ballpark? Those turkey nachos?
Yeah, I think they would. Absolutely. Especially if you're not told, you're just going to enjoy the flavor so much that you're not even going to realize like, oh, I'm having a lighter version.
That's the best part. Don't use that H word, the healthy word.
Right.
Is there an email? Did you say
well, there's an email. Pete says, moving from the West Coast, there's a lot of Hispanic food I miss. But ceviche down here has blown my mind. I'm obsessed. I've never had Peruvian food knowingly before, and now it's one of my favorites.
Well, the Peruvian food movement is really coming on strong, and it's a huge trend. I always say that the new chipotle is ají amarillo and rocoto peppers that you're now starting to see on restaurant menus. Like, everything is either an ají amarillo. That was like 15 years ago, chipotle, and look now, chipotle is...
For those of who may not know what ají amarillo is, it's a yellow pepper.
Yeah, it's a yellow pepper.
But it's a very hot yellow pepper?
No. The rocoto is the very hot one.
Is it they call banana peppers?
No. This is a strictly an Andean pepper. It's berry-like in its flavor. It's beautiful because it's very easy to use. You can buy it in a paste and keep it in the freezer like I do, or you can buy it dry and rehydrate it. But it is the base for most ceviches, for, you know, a lot of the Peruvian foods. They use it in their huancaína sauce, which is one of the classic Peruvian
sauces.
So
if somebody wanted to recreate this at home, they would be able to
buy it.
You
can use it in everything. Yeah.
You can buy it.
Yeah. Publix sells it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well,
how do you spell it?
Ají, A-J-I, and then amarillo, A-M-A-R-I-L-L-O.
Oh, okay.
Amarillo. All right, so another recipe in the book.
We'll put that on our Facebook page.
Or the WLRN page.
Or WLRN, yeah.
Right. Chipotle rum orange pork chops. Now, those look so sinful in your book. What's on them?
They're very light. I mean, it's orange zest mostly, and then you reduce a little bit of the orange down, and you add at the very end a very small amount of rum, which will, enough to evaporate and burn off the alcohol, but enough to give it intense flavor, especially the orange zest. So it sounds like a lot, but it really is a super flavorful, super light recipe.
And the point is, it looks beautiful, so you're kind of eating with your eyes when you start it. Another point is when, we've known each other for a long time, Ingrid, and I thought, well, this book is Cuban food, but no, it's not Cuban at all. Tell us, it comes from all over South America.
It is. You know, my food has always been about 22 Latin countries. That includes Spain. And then, of course, I create my own Spanglish food, which is, you know, the love of my two cultures. I'm Latin, but I'm Americanized. And a lot of those flavors, you see that line in my food. So, yeah, this has a little bit of everything. As you were talking earlier about the banana bread pudding.
Oh, yes. See, I have to tell everyone, this is my favorite part of the book. It's called Happy Endings. Happy Endings. Banana almond bread pudding. So that's delight.
It's cocktails and dessert. You have to sort of wonder what I'm thinking at home when I come up with these names of these chapters.
She's got a big smile on her face, everyone, talking about this. What's in this bread pudding?
Well, it's whole wheat bread. Now, again, the ratio of a typical bread pudding recipe is far more loaded in bread. Here, instead of doing dairy, I'm doing it, instead of the milk, I'm doing it with almond milk. So I really try and balance and play with things like that, where you're still going to have like, yummy, this is bread pudding, but it is probably half the calories, if not more, of a traditional bread pudding.
Well, am I going to get that flavor? I mean, what else goes in it?
Why else would it be in the book? It only makes it in if it's something that I go, this is a winner, I want to eat it again.
Okay. And then another one, it's called Cup of Baked Spiced Hot Chocolate. So this is like a baked hot chocolate?
What is it? It's a baked hot chocolate, exactly. Again, we're using dark unsweetened chocolate. You can sweeten the recipe. Is listed either honey or stevia. It's far more loaded with egg whites as opposed to complete eggs. So it's all about that. It is lessening calories in ways that you're not noticed. And, you know, I always say in the end, it's math. You know, it adds up. If you take off just 150 calories of your regular breakfast without noticing, and it could be as simple as skipping the butter on your toast in the morning, that alone, you have done nothing different. Multiply that times 7 in a week, times 30 in a month. You haven't gone to the gym yet, and you've already shaved calories in little ways. So that's what all the recipes in Latin Delight are. But it's also about fun, because you need to be able... The idea of starting a diet and feeling that you're being deprived and you're on a diet and you're not having flavorful food is not satisfying, and that's why people go on binges as opposed to eating healthier and lighter.
Right, and if you go on a diet, then you go off a diet, and that's
completely.
So it has to become something you love to do. Well, I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and my guest today is TV star Ingrid Hoffman. We'll take a short break here, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we've been celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month with TV personality Ingrid Hoffman. She's the host of the Food Network's Simply Delicioso and Delicioso on Univision.
Univision.
Thank you.
Come on.
All right.
Also, we have our phones are open, 1-800-743-9576, if you'd like to join in and chat with Ingrid. 1-800-743-WLRN, and email also radio@WLRN.org.
Okay. Her latest book, Ingrid's latest book, is Latin Delight, Delicious Latin Recipes with a Healthy Twist. And actually, if you want to meet Ingrid, which everybody in the studio, people have been peering in. I've noticed people walking by two or three times.
Taking pictures.
You can meet Ingrid in person. She's going to be giving a cooking demonstration at the Miami Book Fair. That's on Saturday, November 24th. And she's going to just be speaking at the book fair. No, sorry, that's on Sunday, November 24th. She'll be speaking on Saturday, November 23rd at 3 p.m.
I'll have to get used to this dry toast.
Don't worry, I'll give you some other recipes. I'll take care of you.
If you want more information about the book fair, you go to miamibookfair.com. Well, it's dinner minutes time. So I thought, in honor of Ingrid, we'd have a Latin dish. It's Chilean salmon with quinoa and corn salad, and she tells me she loves quinoa. She makes it all the time.
Yummy. It sounds so delicious. I'm hungry. I'm starving.
She's been starving all morning since she got here. Quinoa, it's a nutrient-rich, I call it a grain, but you say it's not a grain.
It's a seed, which is why it's great for people that are on the gluten-free diet, although it generally is known as the ancient grain of the Inca Empire around Lake Titicaca. The Bolivian and Peruvian site is where they started planting it. But it really is a seed.
It's a seed. And you cook it like pasta. So what I do is, for this recipe, is I boil the quinoa with some corn kernels. You can use frozen ones or frozen lima beans. And about 10 minutes. And the proportion of water to the quinoa is organized so that it'll absorb all of that water. And then to that, I add some fresh tomato cubes and a little ground cumin, and then a little vinaigrette sauce, and make that into a salad. And then to finish the recipe, I saute some salmon fillet, and you cook that about 4 minutes per side. Don't overcook it. Put some spinach leaves on a plate, spoon the salad, quinoa salad on top, and the salmon on that. So that complete recipe and a photo, it's at dinnerinminutes.com. And if you're looking for another quick and easy dinner, in today's Miami Herald, I have a hot glazed veal with sweet pepper fettuccine. And please follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. Ingrid, I imagine you must have a Twitter site there.
Yes, at Simply Ingrid, and obviously my Facebook, Ingrid Hoffman, with two F's and two N's. And actually, I'm pretty good at it. I respond to people. People get surprised when I respond. They're like, no way.
All right, there she is. She responds, so go and contact her. Okay, Fred, now what are we drinking? You've been very quiet. Are you sipping away there?
I'm sipping away, no doubt about that. Well, Hispanic wines in Miami, there is a story to be told there. In September of 1997, I wrote a wine column in the Miami Herald that said, you read it here first, Malbec, the new wine from Argentina, will be that country's finest wine.
You know, and I noticed that since you've been talking about Malbec so often on the radio, I really like it, Fred.
I know, it tastes like Brock's candies with chocolate and cherries and everything. It's a very user-friendly wine.
Maybe that's why I like it with the chocolate part, do you think?
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, you can have it for a dessert with that bread pudding.
Okay.
It wasn't until about 2004 that Malbec sales really took off around the country, but now it's on the shelves of every wine shop in the country. But I think there's a reason for that. It came to Miami first because the growers felt comfortable doing business with importers who spoke their language, which obviously was Spanish. And this is true with a lot of what I call Spanish language wines, wines made in Spanish speaking countries. Back in 1979, my friend Fred and I toured Spain and visited the famous vineyard where they make the fabulous red wine called Vega Sicilia, one of the most expensive wines in Spain. And we brought back a bottle to a wine merchant in Miami, and he bought several cases and introduced that wine to Spanish-speaking Miami.
And Ingrid's nodding her head. Yes, yes.
I like that Vega Sicilia.
Yeah.
Very
nice stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not your everyday wine at its price, but good stuff. Another reason Spanish language winemakers feel comfortable in South Florida is that a lot of our Cuban-born residents have Spanish roots. Our friend Jose Ramon Garrigo, who's the wine columnist for Diario Las Americas, helped Fred and me arrange our Spanish trip, and he's hooked up many Spanish producers to Miami wine cellars, so there's a really strong connection. Also, Spanish-speaking countries make a lot of wines that I guess Ingrid would call delicioso.
Yeah, I love the Albariños. That's such a great white wine at such
great
a great
Spanish
price.
Wine, yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
I just had some the other night. There was a tasting for the Albariño. It was really very light and crisp, and it's kind of good for this weather.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know about it, but it's worth finding. Mm-hmm. Spain also has famous red wines from Rioja, which are excellent and can be pretty well-priced, and it has red wines from Ribera del Duero, Penedès, Valencia, that sort of thing, and it also has the unique white wines from Sherry, which are just fabulous. Argentina has its Malbec, but it also has an exotic, really aromatic wine, white wine called Torontés. Chile is now getting
now,
a big...
You're not spelling all of those words, so we're just going to have to know that we can get them, right, Fred?
I bet if they check your website, they can find this column with all the spellings, right?
You mean dinnerinminutes.com.
There you go. You got a plug.
All right, I will put this all up on the website.
Great. Chile is now getting a big influx of money and expertise from French winemakers like Michel Roland at Casa L'Apostol. And even French winemakers like Chateau Mouton Rothschild, which is making a Bordeaux blend wine in Chile called Alma Viva that sells for $130 a bottle.
Not your everyday wine, huh?
Not your everyday wine, but it shows that Hispanic countries can make really top quality wines. Now in Mexico, where wine arrived in the 1500s with the conquistadores, it still has a way to go, but it's getting better.
They have wine in Mexico?
Yeah, it doesn't matter how far north or south you are, but how far up in the mountains you are to get the cool enough weather. And they can do it there in Baja Peninsula, that kind of thing.
Valle de Guadalupe, right, is where most of the wine is coming.
Yeah, those are $50 wines, too. They're not cheap. And there's even wine made in Cuba. I've read about it. I've never tried it. And although I think they import the grapes, I don't think they grow the grapes themselves. So in any regards, the influence of Spanish language wines is growing. In fact, keep an eye on Uruguay's powerful red wine called Tanat. And you heard that here first, too.
All right. Thank you, Fred Tasker. So Ingrid Hoffman, you've been talking about, you know, Latin delight and lighter Latin recipes. So give us some tips on how we can make Latin foods easier. Let's say a rose con pollo.
Well, you can switch out the arroz and do, for instance, with quinoa, if you want to do a complete change. You can go to brown rice. You can double up on the ratio of vegetables that you use and lower the quantity of the starch. You can also do your chicken instead of lard, do, you know, breast without the skin. So you can actually really make it light.
Well, that
also
sounds...
paella with quinoa would have fewer carbs and more protein, I suppose.
I love doing it with quinoa and also the fideuá, which is with the whole wheat noodles.
All right. Well, I'd love to talk to you more and more and more, but we're out of time. It's been a delicious, tasty week. Ingrid Hoffman, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you, guys.
Her book is Latin Delight, that's D'LITE. And it's delicious Latin recipes with a healthy twist. Visit her at the Miami Book Fair, November 23rd and 24th. She'll be there both times.
And a cooking demonstration.
And cooking demonstration, too. Next week, we'll be talking about the opening of a new supermarket in South Florida, Trader Joe's, with their manager,
Yay.
Jody McCullough. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.